Coming up on this week's edition of the Girl Talk podcast, you'll have a chance to peek into the live event as we share Kelly's devotion on how to handle conflict.
I could choose to hunger and thirst for revenge, or I could choose to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I could hunger and thirst for restoration and reconciliation with this sister in Christ. I could hunger and thirst for the things that God cares about. When I look around at the world around, I get really sad. There is so much hurt going on in our world right now. There are so many people that are just being ugly to each other. There are people bombing each other. There are people suing each other. There are politicians that are just talking ugly about each other. And it breaks my heart. Because there's so much conflict out there. But then when I look at the church, y'all, if we're really honest with ourselves, we sometimes don't look much different than the rest of the world does, do we? We can be so ugly to each other sometimes, and it breaks my heart. So I want y'all to raise your hands if you have ever been hurt by somebody else. And I don't mean like the emotional, deep hurt. The kind of hurt that leaves a scar. The kind of hurt that maybe, you know, one of those little fancy tests that you get only at the hospital that you have to pay a whole lot of money for. They look deep into your heart. They're going to still see those scars. Raise your hand. Raise your hand up high. Me too. I'm hurt and I am wounded. I have been scarred. And it hurts. It still hurts. So I have this soundtrack sometimes that plays in my head. I imagine you have a soundtrack too. My soundtrack says things like, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. He doesn't love you. He thinks you're ugly and uninteresting. She's not your friend. She's never cared about you one bit. You're not smart. You're just stupid. You're just a woman. Why don't you let a man take care of that? That's the soundtrack that goes in my mind sometimes. And I guess you guys probably have your own things. Somebody has said to you in the past that stick right there and leave a scar in your heart. Words hurt. And words leave scars. So I have another question for you. And I applaud you if you're willing to raise your hand on this. But I want you to think about it for just a second. Have you been the person who has done the hurting? You ever said something ugly about somebody behind their back? You ever left out somebody on purpose because you just didn't like them? So you didn't want to invite them to the party? You didn't want to invite them? Did you say something that hurt somebody or did something or maybe just stirred up drama just so you would feel better about yourself? That's me, y'all. I raise my hand because I've hurt people. I have said things that are painful. I've left people out on purpose. I've talked ugly about people behind their back. And tonight it has to stop. I've said things and done things I wish I could take back. And I'm not just talking about, you know, those things I said or did when I was back in high school, because we've all got those things. We all said ugly things in high school or in middle school. I'm talking about yesterday. I'm talking about last week. I'm talking about last year. I'm talking about that time that I called that guy a monster. And it wasn't even that nice of a word. He'd done some awful things to me. Sometimes the people that hurt us the most and sometimes the people that we hurt the most are the people that are closest to us. Those people that live in our house, those people that raised us, those people that were raised with us, those people that we work with, those people we do life with day in and day out at church. Those people we're supposed to love the most. But Jesus came to give us a better way. He came to take away all the conflict. Satan's the one that wants to stir up all the conflict. He's the one that wants to divide us. He's the one that wants to get in between us and our relationships. And he is really good at it. Really good at it. And we let him do it, y'all. We give that enemy just a little inch, and he comes and takes an entire mile. And we let him get into our relationships. We let him get into our churches. We let him get into our families. We did that to ourselves. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it, ladies? So one of the things we're not going to talk about tonight is how to handle conflict with non-believers, because that is an entire message for another time. That'll take us all night long. But that message is summed up in two short little points. Point them to Jesus. Always point them to Jesus. Do everything you can to point them to Jesus. And then number two, stop thinking and expecting them to act like believers. Because non-believers do not have the grace-giving, forgiving power that believers have been given. We expect non-believers to act like they are going to forgive us, and they can't. They do not have the fruits of the Spirit. They have not been given the things that we have been given. So we need to stop right now expecting non-believers to act like believers. But y'all, girlfriends, you that know Jesus, if you know Jesus, if you really know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you need to act like it. You need to start tonight and act like it. So every good message is supposed to have 3 points, right? Isn't that what our preachers tell us? And so at least what I learned in Public Speaking 101 when I was in college at Mars Hill, they tell you you're supposed to have 3 points. And the best points are what? They all rhyme, right? That's the best ones. Or they all start with the same letter, like all of them start with L or whatever. But the really good ones, the really transformational messages, what do they have? They have an acronym. They have an acronym, something you can remember forever. So I'm a little bit of an overachiever, so we got an acronym tonight. All right, so if you're taking notes, I want you to write down the word ACT. Our acronym tonight is ACT, as in act like it. So the A. A stands for ask. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. That's the A. The C, that's going to be choose your path. C, choose your path. And then T, talk it through. T, talk it through. So let's start with the A. So let's start with ask. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. So we really forget a lot about the power of the Holy Spirit. We forget we've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us when we're a believer. We know all about God. We talk about him a lot. He is the Father. He created the world. He planned all this stuff out. And we know Jesus really well. That's like the number one Sunday school answer, right? Jesus. I got that one right all the time when I was a kid. Just say Jesus. It's always the right answer. So we talk a lot about Jesus. There's 4 books in the Bible that are about nothing but him and his whole life. But how much do we really talk about the Holy Spirit? How much do we really think about the Holy Spirit? He's 1/3 of the Trinity. He's equal to the Father and the Son in every single way. He's got a different purpose, but he is equal in every way to God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit's the one that draws us to God in the first place. He's the one that takes us from dead to life. He's the one that makes us born again. He's the one that helps us get rid of all of our junk. He's the one who brings to completion all the things that God planned. God's working out a plan in our lives. I know you've heard that many, many times. But the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us look more and more like Jesus every single day. And yet, he's the one we talk about the least. He's the one we think about the least. He's the one who's at work right now. So God the Father did all the planning. He did all the creating. Jesus did all the coming to earth and living like us stuff and dying stuff and taking on the sin of the world stuff. And all that is major. But the Holy Spirit, he's the one stuck here with us, y'all. I think maybe I'd rather be Jesus and take on the whole sin of all the world than I would be stuck here dealing with us yahoos. He's the one day after day that helps us look more like Jesus. Okay, so it's time to open our Bibles. So look at John. We're going to go to John chapter 14, verse number 25. I'll give you a second to get there. John 14, 25. If you brought your Bibles, yay. If you didn't bring a Bible, get out your phone. Find yourself one. It's also going to be up here on the screen. John 14, 25 says, these things, so this is Jesus talking, Jesus saying these things. So it's red letters if you've got your red letter Bible. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Peace. Jesus gave us peace in the form of the Holy Spirit, the form of a helper. We have peace. We don't have conflict. We don't have anger. We don't have violence. God gave us peace in the form of the helper to live right inside of us. You know, if you're like really, really wanted to find one of those genies in a bottle somewhere. Anybody ever been to the desert and kind of looked around and said, please, can I find one of those genies? And they go, rub three wishes. A genie pops out. You get three wishes like in Aladdin. What would you wish for? Shout it out. Ooh, a penguin. I love that. That is not what I was expecting at all. I was thinking fame and fortune, maybe a rock hard body. I'd like to have that. But, you know, I think a lot of people, if they really are honest, like world peace has got to be up there somewhere in the top five, right? World peace, that's probably what you'd ask for, right? Say yes. Yes, we'd ask for world peace. We would not ask for fame or fortune. We really wouldn't ask for a penguin either. We would ask for world peace. But is it really what you want? Do you really want peace? Do you really want peace? Is that something you want? So what's the best way to ask a helper to help? I mean, oh, man, I just took my own punchline. Okay, y'all are going to forget you heard that. Okay, what's the best way to get a helper to help? Ask, there it is. There it is. You said the best way to get a helper to help is to ask the helper. So we need to hit our knees, y'all, and ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. And maybe the first thing we need to ask for is the give a hoot. Because our give a hoot got broken. Somebody hurt us and we don't want to forgive them. We don't even want to care about them. And maybe that's the first place we have to start. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us care about the person who hurt us first so that we can forgive them. Ask the Holy Spirit to fix your give a hoot. Because if you want to stay mad, you can. You will. If you want to stay in the hurt and you want to stay in the pain, you can and you will. But if you want to heal, if you really want to heal, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. All you have to do is ask. You have a choice to make. So that leads us to the C in our great acronym, choose the path you want to be on. You get to choose whether or not you want to look like Jesus, whether you want to act like Jesus, or whether or not you want something else. Do you choose revenge? Because that's our human nature, y'all. I had a situation recently where I was hurt. I was really hurt. I was hurt by a whole group of people whose names and faces I don't even know. A whole bunch of people that wanted to stay anonymous. They hurt. They caused wounds that cut all the way to my heart. I swear to you, there are scars that will always be there in my heart because of what happened. And there was one person whose name and face I did know. So I wanted to heal. I really wanted to heal. So I went to this person and I said, "You hurt me. The thing you did, the words you said, they hurt. I don't think you know that, but I want you to know that what you did hurt." And what was her response? Did she say, "I was sorry"? Uh-uh. She's a fellow believer in Christ. And her response was, "Well, that wasn't my intent." Really? Really? It wasn't your intent? Y'all, let's practice together. Let's say, "I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I hurt you." That's all I needed. But I had a choice right there in that moment to make. I could feel the anger welling up inside of me. It just started bubbling. It just started bubbling because I wanted so badly for her to say, "I'm sorry I hurt you." I had just poured out my heart to a sister in Christ, and she didn't care. And I wanted her to say, I'm sorry, and I got angry. But I had a choice to make. I could either choose revenge, and that's really what I wanted to do, y'all, if I'm really honest. I could feel it. I was like, ooh, I'm going to get you. You just watch. I could hunger and thirst for revenge. Or I could choose a different path. So I asked God to help me right there in the middle of that. Okay, so we're going to go to our second scripture. So if you want to choose, I mean, if you want to open your Bible to Matthew 5:6. I'm going to have to bring this closer. I can't see this, y'all. All right, Matthew 5:6. If you've gotten there, great. If not, we're going to go on without you. So it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Satisfied. That's what I wanted in that moment. That's kind of how revenge feels. It feels like I'm getting satisfied. I'm getting justified. I'm satisfied. But that is not what God means. God says hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be satisfied, not revenge. So what does righteousness means? That mean? That's one of those great big churchy words that we like to throw around, righteousness. Basically, it means that you're going to be right before God, that you're going to have your attitude, your character, your conduct, all of that's going to point to Christ. You're going to try to look more like him. You want to be made right before God, right in his eyes, not right in the eyes of the world, not right in the eyes of man. You want to be made righteous. So I could choose to hunger and thirst for revenge, or I could choose to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I could hunger and thirst for restoration and reconciliation with this sister in Christ. I could hunger and thirst for the things that God cares about. I could care more about building up the kingdom of God than I care about tearing down its people. Even though that's what I wanted to do, I wanted to tear her down. But I could care more about what God cares about and about love than I care about tearing our people down. I could choose grace or revenge, and it's a choice. So I'm reminded of Judas and Jesus and his interactions with Judas in those final days. Jesus knew all along everything Judas was going to do. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. And Jesus even knew, because he knows everything, he knew that Judas's betrayal was going to lead him to the most excruciating pain any human has ever felt. He knew that was going to happen, and what did he do? I'd have punched him in the nose. That's what I'd have done. I don't know about y'all, but Judas would have walked in that upper room that Thursday night, and I'd have been like, come here. I'm going to punch you right in the nose. I'm going to smack you across the face. I'm going to kick you in the shins. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus got down on his hands and feet, on his knees. He got down just like this, humbled himself, and he washed Judas's feet. He washed his feet. The most humbling, grace-filled act in the entire Bible, as far as I'm concerned. Because Jesus put aside all of the things that he wanted to do, any fleshly temptations, and he had temptations just like us. He had fleshly temptations because he was in a body, but he was perfect, and so he never acted on them. He chose to wash his feet. So what do you choose to do? Are you going to choose to hang on to that hurt? Are you going to choose anger? Are you going to choose revenge? Are you going to choose to follow the model that Jesus gave us when he washed Judas's feet? I know what I'm going to choose, y'all, and that's revival. Because that's what our churches need. Our churches need revival, and we don't have time for conflict. We don't have time for conflict and backbiting and getting ugly with each other. It is time for revival, because I want to look more like Jesus. I want the people around me to look more like Jesus. If nothing else, it'll make my life a little bit easier. If all y'all would just act like Jesus, that'd be so much easier for me. But I want revival. I want my friends to know Jesus. And I want my friends to look like Jesus. All right, so what do you want? You want to look like Jesus? Because let's go on to our tea. Time is short. I only have 20 minutes and I'm probably already over it. Okay, so on to the tea. What's the tea stand for? We're going to talk it through. That's right. We're going to talk right through. Okay, open up your Bibles again. We're going to go. So Matthew 18 is where we're going to head right now in our Bibles. Y'all, there's a whole lot of parables in the Bible. Jesus was very good at talking in stories and talking in parables. And sometimes even his own disciples didn't have a clue what he was talking about. In fact, they say that in there. They're like, what? What does that mean? So rarely does God ever give us, or Jesus in this case, ever give us a step-by-step guide of how we're to act. And y'all, that's just beautiful. That just makes my little planner's heart very happy when there's like a step-by-step plan of how to do something. So Matthew 18 gives us that step-by-step, Jesus' four-step plan to handling conflict. So if we start at Matthew 18, verse 15, it says, if your brother sins against you, so sisters, just because it says brother does not mean you're off the hook. This is one of those very many gender-neutral versions of the word brother in here. It means sister too. So don't think you're getting off the hook. So if your sister or brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, basically a non-believer. Let's go back to verse number 15. It says, if your brother sins against you, tell him his fault between you and him alone. That does not mean go and gossip about him. That does not mean go and tell your bestie all about what the other girl did to you. It doesn't mean go and tell your coworkers or your next door neighbor, or go and tell your women's minister, or go and tell your whole small group just because it's fun. That is not what this means. What God says here is go to the person alone. You and that person, talk about it. Almost all conflicts can be resolved just in step one. You don't have to get to the rest of those steps. You can solve it with just that first step. Go and talk to them. Because if that's not what you're doing, you're gossiping. And how does God feel about gossip? He says it's a sin and God hates sin. So go to the person and talk about it. Care more about your sister in Christ and go and talk to them. So what might you find? What's the result of going and having a conversation with somebody? You might find that your faith is strengthened just in the obedience of following the model that Jesus told us to. If nothing else, your faith is strengthened. You might find that it was a total misunderstanding, or you might find that you were actually the one in the wrong. Can I say that out loud? You might actually find out that you were the person who was wrong, not the other person. You might find, though, a better and deeper relationship with your sister in Christ. You might find a bestie for the rest of your life. You might just simply find peace. Peace because the helper gave you peace. Peace because you came and you laid it at the foot of the cross. Peace because you are willing to care more about your sister in Christ and more about building up the kingdom of God than you care about your own rights to be right and your own pride. Or you might find forgiveness. Maybe what you've done is broken a relationship and what you need is forgiveness. Do you know Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Because if you do, you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you can do all of this because he will do it on your behalf for you. You need to act like it. Act like you have the grace-giving, forgiving power of the Holy Spirit. So let's recap our steps. What are we going to do? First, we are going to ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Second, we're going to choose our path. We're going to choose to look more like Jesus. We're not going to choose revenge. And third, we're going to talk to our sister or brother in Christ. We're going to seek unity in the body, not division. So what does this mean to you? Maybe what you're saying here is you don't know Kelly. You don't know what hurt I'm carrying. You don't know. I just can't. I cannot forgive that person. I understand. It's your choice. You can continue to hang on to that. Maybe you're saying, I don't have any idea what you're talking about when you talk about this Holy Spirit power. I want that. I want that Holy Spirit power that you're talking about because you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Say yes to him today, because that is the only way to have the grace-giving, forgiving power, is for the Holy Spirit to do the work.